You know what's a lot more fun than thinking about how to best pay off student loans? Thinking about how rich you're going to be one day in spite of your student loans. That's why we started the Financially Free Era podcast. Financially Free Era, if you search that term on any podcast platform, you're going to find it. It's hosted by my colleague Megan McGuire over at SLP Wealth. And this podcast is where we dive deep into all the things you want to know about how to be wealthy one day. How do you best maximize tax loopholes and write-offs? How do you best invest money? How do you make smart money moves in spite of even a very large six-figure student loan balance that are going to get you where you want to be much sooner? Go follow the Financially Free Era podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. I promise you, if you like Student Loan Planners podcast, you will love Financially Free Era by SLP Wealth. Search that term, follow the show, you will love it.
Welcome to another episode of the Student Loan Planner podcast. You haven't heard my voice in quite a while, but I've been around for almost as long as the gentleman that I'm interviewing today. My name is Lauren Williams. I joined the Student Loan Planner team in 2018, and today is episode 400, which is no easy feat. Travis, welcome to the show and welcome to episode 400.
Does that mean that AI is going to have my full sentient consciousness like uploaded into it because we've been around that long, Lauren?
We have been around that long. We are AI.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's crazy to think we've 400 episodes in. It's like really exciting to have you join. And I think you're going to pepper me with some questions is what I've heard.
You are in the hot seat today, Trav. So why don't we just start with just some basic things to give people a little bit of context to know like why this is such a big deal. When did you start Student Loan Planner?
That's like a hard question to be precise about, because like, do you say when I first formed the LLC, when I first started giving student loan advice to friends of my wife that had a lot of debt? Is it when I first started tracking like revenue and expenses in my little income sheet, you know, that I've tracked since the beginning? I think probably the official launch is like September of 2016. So in the time of recording this in November of 2025, we're only about 10 months away from our 10-year anniversary. So I'm going to call it September of 2016.
Okay, you can make up whatever date you want. You know, it could be when you became an LLC, could be, like you said, any of those 10 dates. And you guys can probably see why he's so good at what he does. He's all about the details. He's like, well, there's 10 different ways that this could have been the first time that I started Student Loan Planner. So let's talk about that first year of business. What was the hardest part of building something in a space that barely even existed?
I remember at the time, like this was during the Obama administration. So that's how old I am. I'm just kidding. You know, it was during the Obama administration. And like during that period of time, the most common thing that you would see for student loan help online was like Obama student loan forgiveness. And it was mostly scam companies that were just like promising all kinds of things under the guise of get Obama student loan forgiveness. And they were making a lot of money on people. It was shocking to actually how much money they were making. Like some of these operations were like giant farms almost of like huge numbers of people robocalling or like telemarketing like crazy and being really scammy and deceptive. So that was like the kind of environment that I was in at the time. And it was also before the 2016 election, right? Which obviously that set off like earthquakes in terms of like the American political landscape. The reason I remember this so well is because I had this spreadsheet that went viral on Business Insider, and it was my very early version of the spreadsheet that we use for consults today that's been iterated so many times. But it was like a mathematical approach in it with a financial planning lens of like, how do you best pay back your student loan debt and save as much money as possible, which really didn't exist, right?
Literally like did not exist.
It didn't exist because CFP stuff and financial planning folks just really didn't cover it. There were a couple people in the space that like were capable of giving that kind of advice, but not very many people out there, to my knowledge, at least had a spreadsheet-based approach to what's the best way to do this. So I made that spreadsheet went viral, got like 500,000 views. And I put in the bottom of the bio, you know, hey, I've got this part-time thing where I occasionally help people with student loans. Like, here's my email if you want to reach out. And I remember when that article came out, because I was getting like, it was like this when it came out. It was like email, 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 email. It was like crazy. And I was like, holy cow, what did I do? You know, right. And at that time, I'd only helped like three or four friends of my wife and myself. And the time we were dating, I was in Philly, a place with a lot of higher ed institutions, right? With places like UPenn and Temple and places that had a lot of people borrowing for professional degrees that had six figures of loans. So I had like in my social circle, people that had a lot of debt. And at the time I had like, quote unquote, early retired from my job as a bond trader. And I was just kind of like, living life a day at a time. It was pretty awesome. I was just traveling. Occasionally, I would come back, you know, spend some time in Philly so that I could be around my girlfriend. And then I would go off on another trip. And eventually, she like let it be known that like I needed to put up or shut up in terms of my commitment of being in one place and not traveling all the time. If we wanted to have a serious relationship and build a life together, it was just like me realizing, oh, this like aimless blogging that I've done over at my like hobby website wasn't doing anything. It was getting a few thousand views, but it wasn't talking to any specific problem. It was just whatever was on Travis's mind at the time. And then that spreadsheet went viral. And then I was like, oh, people really want and need this help. This is a big pain point that people have. And then I decided, well, I've already been blogging for 2 years. Let me go make a new website and let me write about the problems that I'm seeing that people are emailing me about in that article. And then the first article I ever wrote was really about one of my first clients was a veterinarian who had a bunch of student loan debt. And the idea behind the article was basically veterinarians are treated wrongly for under student loan policies, right? And it was essentially targeting this idea of, you know, why do physicians have the same debt as veterinarians, but physicians get access to PSLF and veterinarians do not, and veterinarians make half of what physicians make on average in our surveys. And so it was just calling out, like, is this fair public policy, right? Like, is this, sure, we need human doctors, no question, right? Primary care is definitely understaffed, but like, why physicians and not veterinarians too? Why are veterinarians not included in that kind of policy? That was the question that I was asking. More so, it wasn't saying that physicians shouldn't get PSLF. It was just saying, like, why are veterinarians treated so differently? You know, like, is this smart policy? Basically, that's what the article was called. And then that article started going viral. And I like promoted it with $50 of Facebook ads, Lauren. This was back in the day when like anything goes on Facebook. You know what I mean?
Right.
And like people say that $800,000 of Facebook ads from Russia might not have moved the dial. Well, people weren't advertising in Facebook in 2016. It was pretty amazing. So I'm just joking around. But, you know, it was kind of wild the reach you could get back in the day on Facebook ads for so little dollars. That's not the case today. But yeah, I put like $50 to $100 of ad money behind it. And that article got viewed like 40,000 times. It was crazy. It went so viral. It reached, I think, almost the entire veterinary profession. And like in the article, I said things like, you know, vet schools are profit maximizers that try to rip off their students in some cases. And I got like angry emails from like administrators at vet schools being like, that was really defamatory and like stuff like that. And I was like, oh, shoot, people are reading this stuff that I'm writing. Uh-oh, I better be more careful, you know? So I just remember that article. And then I wrote the dentist article, which was like kind of similar to it. And then I wrote a physician article that was just like, why do physician specialists get more advantaged PSLF treatment than like primary care doctors? Here's a way that primary care doctors can get more PSLF or something like that. Again, it was kind of like targeting this pain point of like people feeling like they were being unfairly treated under ridiculous student loan laws. And meanwhile, all the powers that be were just sort of like paying lip service and saying a bunch of stuff that was like cliches that didn't even make sense. A lot of people would just be like, oh, just pay it back. Other people would say stuff at schools like, oh, you'll pay this back in no time, right? And then meanwhile, they were just raising their fees 6% every year because they just didn't want to like make any cuts. And they could because loans were unlimited. And now we're in a totally different world. But I have fond memories of getting the thing going. And eventually I got so busy. You and Rob Burtman were like our two first consultants. And y'all were critical in getting that business off the ground. Because if y'all had not been excellent, SLP might not have even happened. If y'all were not amazing, maybe we never scale. And maybe I'm still just randomly doing a couple consults myself.
How'd you find these two excellent people? I mean, like,
I mean, an angel came down. I'm just kidding. So Rob was a find from just like the same co-working space. We were randomly working in the same co-working space in St. Louis, and he just happened to be working on his own business that, you know, he was trying to find product market fit for what he was offering and needed a way to extend his runway to keep pursuing that business. And, you know, it just kind of made sense. Like I needed somebody that had part-time availability that could do student loan consults. And he had the interest and the availability and the credentials. And so we just sat in a room together because we're in the same co-working space. And we like worked on the process live. And then eventually me and Rob got too busy. And I don't remember exactly how I found you, Lauren. I'm very blessed that I did. But
Let me tell this story. I do. So the way that I got into student loans was the very first person that came to my business. So I was running my own separate RIA, like you said, trying to get my boots off the ground, get going. The first young lady that came into my business had $365,000 of student loan debt and $150,000 of income. And to your point, I had my CFP, I had, you know, all these different financial licenses and things, but I knew nothing about student loans. And so this is the first person that's not a friend or a family member, as I'm trying to, you know, get out there and say, I'm going to help people organize their finances. And I was like, oh my goodness, I have no idea how to help her. And so I went down this rabbit hole of trying to understand student loans for myself so that I could help my very first client, and realized just how complicated it was. I have this financial expertise. She was a pharmacist and has no financial expertise. And all she kept saying to me was, I thought that when you made six figures, your life was supposed to get better. I'm living in the middle of nowhere, Michigan. I am doing the best I can with my money, and I'm putting every dollar that I am earning on a monthly basis toward my student loans. And I was like, that just doesn't seem fair. And so during my research, I found actually Heather Jarvis and got in with her and started to really just own my own student loan experience. Like, what is the knowledge that I need to be able to help her? But what is the knowledge that I need to be able to help other people with this? And as I started to do that deep dive, I came across your Instagram page, which, yeah, had almost no followers at the time, you know? And I was like, oh, this guy likes student loans too. Maybe he can come on my podcast. And so I had you as a guest on my podcast. And I think you did a little bit of research about me. And you're like, oh, you're pretty interested in student loans. Would you like to come over into my thing? And I was like, yeah, why not?
So that actually drives my memory. You know, I'm getting old, Lauren, so I don't have my memory like I used to, you know. But yeah, I remember thinking like, oh, wow, she really has a passion for this. She really has like expertise in this. And Heather Jarvis is one of the OGs, right? Like people that are in the space. Like she was one of the people that helped write the PSLF regulations when they first got passed. And I think that she used to do more like one-on-one client work, but she like pivoted to more like helping organizations, helping professional groups, like just overall education of key stakeholders, key groups of people. But I think she kind of had gotten out of one-on-one help by that time. And then you had taken, I think, some training from her and engaged with her. And I was like, oh, okay, clearly Lauren knows what you got to focus on, the material, has the passion. And it was like, okay, this is a no-brainer. And then like randomly, I find out, I think after we hired you, that you're also, you have your own Wikipedia page. And like, I didn't know that. Like, I was like, I think at some point I was Googling you or whatever. And then I was like, oh, wait a second. First woman to medal in the summer and winter games. What? She's an Olympian? Holy cow. Like, so it was just so interesting. I just remember that being like, oh, wow, fun facts about Lauren. That's really cool.
I'm definitely the person that would bury the lead. And, you know, I was just very nervous. I didn't want people to think of me as like the dumb jock athlete. I wanted people to take me very serious for the financial knowledge and expertise that I was trying to gain. And so I was very, very shy about talking about my Olympic experience. But it is that fun thing that, you know, gets a room going. And also, like you said, does a lot to make people take me more serious because of the work ethic that you need to be able to be an Olympic athlete. But at the time, I was not trying to tell anybody that.
Well, it's a fascinating story also just because of the story of like not only you being excellent in the summer games, but you literally being approached by like somebody on the winter Olympic team of like, hey, you want to learn this new, what was it again? Bobsled? Let's learn this new bobsled sport that you've never done before. And let's see if we can get you to an Olympic level. And let's see if you can compete in, what was it, like a few months or years or how fast was it?
6 months.
Oh my God. So think about like, hey, let's have you train and become an Olympic athlete at a sport in 6 months. Like, that's incredible. And so, yeah, I think it was a no-brainer that with your passion for student loans and your expertise that eventually you would be a rock star. And so you lead our consultant team now, and it's a blessing to have you in the company. I will say this, you know, your first few hires in a business can make or break you. And so in terms of getting talented people, I think it's like finding people that share your goals, share your values, share what you're trying to do in the business, and like that they understand like what you're trying to accomplish. And then importantly, making the pay structure, Lauren, just reflective of the revenue you're able to bring in for partnering, right? Like if I had done some sort of pay structure that was like a flat rate, that wouldn't have maybe even been fair in the beginning, because it was sort of trying to figure out like if the percent of revenue number is right, then it can be a long-term thing if somebody's getting paid enough, you know? I'm just sort of thinking out loud for anybody who's listening who's also an entrepreneur. You just want to try to find that mutually beneficial fit of like anybody you're thinking about adding as a partner or a team member or whatever. And it's like critical to have those values alignment. So like, I was very grateful that I found you, Lauren.
Yeah. And if you guys aren't listening, you know, you can pick out the things here. He is excellent at one, business and spreadsheets. So, you know, he can take those numbers and turn them into something. But also his passion for student loans is like, hey, I can't just have anybody in this business. Who am I going to have that's going to be able to help me grow this thing? And how did he grow the business? He just told you guys it was looking at what the problems are and calling them out. And he's been doing that from 2016 to present. In fact, I'm thinking about like 2016 Travis. We're now 20,507 as of this recording, consults in. Jeez. If you show 2016 Travis a screenshot of today's student loan world, what would shock him the most?
Probably capped loans. I mean, I kind of figured that the lobbying power of these schools was going to be so great that they were never going to be successful at capping the borrowing. Like the Obama administration tried to cap borrowing, which tells you that it's a bipartisan idea, but he was ultimately unsuccessful because of lobbying from higher education institutions, and they were able to kill that. So I think that my most shocking thing is probably that they did simplify loans for the future, and also that they capped loans. I mean, just the fact that they accomplished that in this bill is pretty shocking to me. I think that would be one of the things I would be most surprised about. That said, just because it's simple to me doesn't mean it's simple in general. You know, I mean, thinking about the times of max complexity of student loans, of periods like the IDR waiver overlapping with the PSLF waiver, overlapping with new regulations coming out, overlapping with the pause. I mean, that was max complexity. I still think that there's tons of complexity in the system, but it is interesting that we're moving towards a world where most professional school grads are going to graduate with a flat 200K amount of student loans plus accrued interest because of loan limits. And then they're going to have some private loans on top of that. But that's going to be like everybody's going to have a similar amount of federal loans starting in about 2030 or so, which I think is kind of interesting.
I would have never imagined either. I remember consults back in the day. You said it was like we emailed you the spreadsheet. There was no Zoom. There was no screen sharing. And then it was pretty much IBR, pay-as-you-earn became an option, or refinance your loans. And we were having a lot more refinancing conversations back then. And then it became a period of time where we were talking pretty much all forgiveness for people. And now we're back in a time frame with, you know, SAFE going down the drain to, you know, it's IBR. There are some other plans out there, but we're having a lot more conversations about people having to pay their loans in full. And so when we just think about like the chaos that has been student loans and where we started to where we are now, I can't believe that we're here. We're still doing it. We're still figuring it out and helping people, you know, as much as possible along the way, because it's been a poop show.
Yeah, no kidding. Thanks for keeping this a family-friendly podcast, Lauren.
Exactly.
But I mean, so I think like, if I think about what's kept me going to do 400 episodes, definitely a big part of it has been team members like you. Like having good coworkers is critical in the journey. You know, transparently, I think a lot of times you make something successful and you know, there's always a temptation of like, if work is tiring sometimes, just like, if you could have some sort of big liquidity event and be done, that's a temptation for any founder. And so what's kept me from doing that has been feeling like I am making a difference with people that I like. Financially, I'm very lucky to not have to do this anymore, but I like to keep doing it because I like what I do for the most part. Mm-hmm. There are some days where it's really challenging. Like if I would be vulnerable and brutally honest, there are some times when like you get attacked online or you get really angry emails. I've had situations, really challenging ones, where people reach out and share their plans of self-harm because of their student loans. Mm-hmm. Call the, 988 crisis line if you're ever at that point of depression about anything. But that takes a toll on me. I'm like a people pleaser personality type. And so I love people and I love helping people. But that ultimately also comes with the challenge of how do you like stay mentally in a good spot when having any kind of business that involves you being public in any way is really tough and challenging. So like I always feel for like actual celebrities. Like I met a very, very famous celebrity at a national park place in Canada. I won't say who, but they're like A-list of A-list, right? And I was just thinking like, man, like this has got to be a really hard life for them. Cause I know how hard it is for me. Like I said, being criticized, being attacked online sometimes, you know, I can't imagine what it's like if you're actually famous. Right. I can't think of money in the world that maybe would be, even be worth that. So to circle back, I'm very grateful for my colleagues, for the clients that listen to this and keep listening to this week after week, for people who trust our business and support our business and tolerate my like sometimes annoying emails or weird dad jokes. Like, you know, we see you, we appreciate you. It keeps me doing this. So it's been fun.
Well, we appreciate you as well, because to be honest, I didn't think I would be here when I started in 2018. Here we are in 2025. something else that you were doing because you care so much about people, were hiring people that could work in a part-time capacity while they were building their own business. You were like, it's okay that you have your own thing outside of this. I want to help you see you grow. And at some point you will fade off into the sunset. And hopefully this would have been a good time for you along the way. And here I am, fast forward to, what's that? It's almost 10 years. I don't know how many, how to count, 2018 to 2025. Present, and I'm still here. And it's because, like you said, the difference that we get to make as Student Loan Planner, it's almost addictive. The way that I feel like I change someone's life, literally their life in 60 minutes, 80% of the time when I hang up a call, is something that you just can't replicate in all facets of financial planning. And so we're grateful to you as well for giving us the opportunity to be able to make a difference, because this work does matter.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, my refrigerator wasn't working and I couldn't get the thing to make ice or dispense water. And I talked to the refrigerator guy and he's like, did you turn off the vacation mode setting? And I was like, huh? And I turned it off. Boom. Fixed. And I was like, bro, you have no idea what you just did for me. My wife's been after me for weeks to like get this fixed. I only had to press a button. Like, you know,
and I almost bought a new refrigerator.
Yeah, exactly. Like thinking about, yeah, do I have to just move on? Was I an idiot for buying this brand? And it's like, oh, I just needed the fix, right? If you're going to renovate your house, more of an expansive scope, it's going to be frustrating. It can take months. You got to be invested, right? Like it's intense. That's kind of like the difference between student loan planning and financial planning. I think sometimes people don't realize financial planning is kind of like home renovation, where you're trying to get your dream destination, but it's going to take work and it's going to take effort and, you know, time. Whereas, you know, sometimes student loan planning is this thing that lends itself great to just like a one quick meeting that like changes your life, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah, no, it's so cool. So I know we're getting a little bit sappy on you guys, but like you said, this is a really big deal for both of us. 400 episodes. I remember also when you said, you're like, hey, should I start a podcast? And I was like, what are you going to talk about? And like the king of content creation, 400 episodes later, like I do my podcast in seasons because I'm like, I'm out of stuff to talk about right now. Let me think of something that I feel really passionate before I can make another episode. But you somehow find a way to bring good content every week, 400 episodes in. So yeah. I want to go back a little bit, though, you know, while we're in this, like you said, emotional part of the podcast, and think about your early years. And I want you to come up with a consult that really stayed with you. Like, what is the one that stands out from kind of your beginning days as like a really big moment?
I remember when somebody tried to tip me once. This was before like the tipping culture, right? Like it was very explicit, like just this is the price, it's a flat fee. And like I stopped them from paying off their loans, reoriented them towards forgiveness, like made them realize they weren't filing taxes separately when they needed to be, and saved them something like $2,000 a month or something. And this was somebody that was making, you know, 100 to 150 or something, you know, and had all these like financial stresses on their plate. They were so stressed and they like wanted to start crying, you know, and like they're just like, they tried to tip me. And I'm like, well, instead of tipping me, just tell somebody about Student Loan Planner. Thank you. You know, that stands out. I mean, there was another one that stood out of like somebody that was being like, without sharing too many details, was basically being financially abused. Not physically, but like having her name used for all kinds of purchases and you know, credit-based purchases by her spouse. And the spouse was just essentially victimizing her because her credit was not good. And the reason it was not good was because this person would just buy stuff constantly and miss payments, not make payments, and would just completely ignore what she was asking for them to try to work towards financial stability. And it was like, I just was looking at her loan situation. I said, can I be honest with you? Like, have you talked to someone that you trust about this, like a counselor, a pastor, a faith leader, somebody that you can just talk to? Because I don't think this is okay. And then she just sobbed. I mean, really started sobbing. You know, it felt good because I was like, somebody needed to say, you deserve to be safe and you deserve to take care of yourself and you deserve financial safety in your relationship. And if you don't have it, it's okay to seek help. As stressful as it is to get messages of people that have shared literally self-harm thoughts about their loans, I do think we've saved lives over the course of 10 years. I think that we've helped people get connected with resources. Our team responds to emails sometimes connecting people with resources. We've been able to help people realize with blog posts that their debt is not a death sentence, right? Mm-hmm. In the sense of like people feel that weight sometimes. They don't have to beat themselves up. They don't have to feel bad about what their decisions were at 22. They can have a thriving financial future no matter how big the debt is. And they can even have a much better financial future than the average person or even the average professional in their field, you know, because at worst, your debt is an income tax. So I feel great about those changes that we made. And I don't know, I mean, you know, you can't know the situations of somebody who would have harmed themselves that didn't because of our content, but I know based off of the volume of people that reach out. I mean, it's obviously people are, there's a lot of people out there in the world, and a lot of them feel, some of them feel some pretty dark stuff. And so I'm really grateful for that. Like, if I think about the legacy I'm proud of or proudest of, it's probably helping people, just helping people not beat themselves up. Cause just to be kind of transparent and vulnerable myself, like, I beat myself up a lot. I've shared this on the podcast, but I've had to go to counseling for anxiety stuff at times, which is funny because student loans is probably not the right business to be in if somebody struggles with anxiety. Like, that's really not a good business choice. But it's been challenging in seasons, right? Thinking about all the things we've had to weather. A lot of times people sort of take for granted businesses existing, but like, it is hard to keep a business afloat that's not run by a gazillion dollars of VC money. Because, right. I mean, we had the Obama administration turning into the Trump administration with all the threats to PSLF and people worried about that. And then we had, you know, the student loan pause that went on and on and on and on. And, you know, I remember, Lauren, once I like scaled up the team, made a ton of investments, getting our team ready to be ready to help people when the pause ended because of the announcements and stuff. Like, they were like, this is the final time. And we're like, all right, let's make sure we're ready to help people because that's what we exist for. And then Build Back Better Act failed and then needed something to like quench the anger around that. And it's like, all right, let's make it the final time. You know what I mean? And it's
just
like,
kidding.
And
that, we're not ready yet.
Yeah. And that was very hard as a business leader, like making it through that period. Also, the second Trump administration talking about how they wanted to end PSLF and block Parent Plus folks from getting access to forgiveness at all. I mean, that was stressful. Like, that messed up one of my vacations when I found like in one of the drafts that they were going to end all forgiveness for Parent Plus people immediately. And I was like, oh, shoot, sound the alarm. Time to get on the advocacy train to try to save this. And it got saved. But the thing I'd like to change about how I operate Student Loan Planner for the next 10 years is I got to take things a little bit less hard. You know, this too shall pass. Even the most stressful situation for borrowers is something that can be overcome. And I do believe that. And I know it from the math perspective. But like, unfortunately, us humans are both math and emotional creatures. And, you know, I just sometimes, because of the caring part, the emotion stuff is hard sometimes.
Yeah, no, really hard. I know I've been on calls where the person has brought me to tears. You said there's been many a call where the client has been crying, but this work is meaningful and it matters. So to bring it up a little bit a notch, let's get a little bit more excited. You talk about what's going to happen over the next 10 years.
Get a little happier.
You just said,
yeah.
Let's go, like, let's paint your perfect picture of the student loan landscape over the next 5 years. Forget about all the different rules and stuff that exist right now. Like, how would you want things to play out over the next 5 years if you were the guru and could just do whatever you wanted with student loans?
Wow, what a great question. I would probably have some sort of system to have loans be uncapped for folks who failed to access private loans on their own in the marketplace. So for example, like, even if you believe in loan caps, which the Obama administration even believed in that, I think the problem is it limits access. It limits socioeconomic mobility to all people that want to access a profession that have the talent to do so. So I think the big change that I wish would happen is, like, even if you have loan caps, to have some system where if you get denied in the private loan marketplace, that you get full cost of attendance for federal loans for whatever you need to attend, right? So that would be something that I wish would happen. I mean, you can make the argument that, like, maybe all this should be more grant-based instead of loan-based. You know, in running Student Loan Planner, I have tried to reserve when I sound the alarm bells on things, probably partly because of the struggles I've had with anxiety. Like, you can't let yourself be constantly worried or constantly alarmed. It's like, it's not a healthy state of being. There are times when I've clanged the gong really loud, things like the rewrite of the student loan rules and like the Parent Plus stuff potentially getting limited and the end of some of the PSLF waiver, IDR waivers when people needed to take action. Think about the next 5 years, what I'd like to see is stuff like making people have more access to the loans that need it. In terms of like what I'd like to see for how we help people, I'm thinking about the future of how these loan limits are going to have impacts on people and like how it's going to impact their lives. And if we have a role to play in helping people with that, all of these professional programs are going to have 50K per year loan limits pretty much across the board. And that is fine for probably like occupational therapy, but it's not fine at all for like medical, dental, veterinary, et cetera, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking that probably we're going to get involved in some way in the medical, dental, vet, maybe law space to help people navigate, like, how do you make a smart financial decision pursuing these degrees? And it might be the way we like we do for refinancing, where we have a marketplace with like best in class deals for people that need private loans. It might be that we have a pre-debt consult for people that need to make a plan for like, what is their life going to look like if they go become a fill in the blank profession, so that they have like that awareness. And it could look like, I think for people who are already graduated, I've been thinking about that, like the hacks and the stuff that matters is still going to be something that we can help with even after the wrap plan goes into play. Because people will still need like PSLF optimization. They'll still need the married filing separate or joint optimization. They're going to need, you know, do I file an extension or not? Do I consolidate or not? You know, how do I get my payment as low as possible? And then on the 30-year forgiveness for the non-PSLF folks, there are fewer people that will want to pursue that. But there still are going to be some. And there's also going to be some that are going to feel paralyzed for other financial choices they want to make because they feel like they know they're not going to get forgiveness long term, but they also feel like, I've got these other goals I want to achieve. Like, what do I do? Right. Mm-hmm. And so an example of that is like a physical therapist that starts off making 80K a year with 200K maxed out loans who finishes school. Probably eventually that physical therapist with a 30-year repayment schedule is not going to make little enough to have forgiveness. Like they probably will end up paying that full amount back. But the way you could help that person is to help them max out their interest subsidies on the wrap plan, file their taxes the right way, do the right filing strategy for when you file your taxes, and get that payment minimized so you can go rock everything else in your finances. You can build financial security first. Use inflation to eat away at the actual real dollar value of those loans, and then get yourself into a position where you could pay them off and you're not stressed doing it. You're doing it from a position of strength instead of a position of weakness, right? Like people, you know, rush into throwing every dollar at their loans is the second they graduate. And that's like one of the worst things you can do in most cases, because it's like, well, do you have your emergency fund? Like, do you have your oxygen mask on financially? Do you have like a budget? Do you have your hopes and dreams planned out in terms of what do you want for your long-term, for housing, for relationships, for starting a family or not? Those things all matter way more. Like if you think about those super personal decisions that are like the reason you work so hard in the first place is what you, the dreams are, right? And I just wish more people would worry more about their dreams and not stress so much about the debt.
Yeah, but that all comes with being organized financially. And I mean, you bring up a really good point about the idea of optimizing your financial situation and student loans being one part of that financial situation that has so many different ways you can optimize it. It's not just like, get on the lowest payment plan and pay the minimum and worry about it later. You just gave us five or six different options for even that person that's coming up here in the future who it seems like the options are a lot more limited. They're actually not. There's still things you can do to make the optimal situation and make your dollars go as far as possible. So,
well, and if I could say, if you said 5 years, that's 2030. So a new administration and a new Congress will be in place then. We don't know what party that will be, but we know that what we've learned in student loan rules, right, is like they don't stay the same. Mm-hmm. It doesn't stay this way forever. The Democratic Party very much opposed loan limits, very much opposed these changes that the Republicans did without Democratic support. So if you extrapolate past the next presidential election, even if you have like a Republican president, if you have like a Democratic House, you might see new loan legislation that changes it yet again. You know what I mean? And then if you increase loan limits and you change the repayment plans to take away the wrap plan and make it more generous and you make it 20 years instead of 30 years, suddenly forgiveness versus refinancing becomes a lot more of a thing for people to contemplate, right? I would anticipate that, you know, because of all of the special interests involved in the student loan world, that it will remain constantly changing. It will remain complicated and it will remain, you know, something that people have like save a lot of money from getting expert advice on probably.
I feel like I limited you a little bit by saying, you know, the next 5 years. So maybe I'll put the context a little bit differently. Imagine we're now in episode 800. So, you know, we're here. That's not necessarily 5 years from now. What do you hope that SLP has accomplished by then?
That's a great question. I mean, I think at some point, you know, you have to ask yourself the question, like, does something have a life beyond you as a business, right? And the only way it does is if somebody else can run the show without you. So I think at some point it might be interesting to have someone else potentially be like the general manager of SLP to see if it's got something that could
be.
There's
a job opening that I didn't know about.
I said at some point, Lauren, I'm still alive. But I do think it would be interesting to think about what if somebody could run it that's not me? And what if it could be around for the long term? And like the exit plan is not just selling something, right? Mm. If I ever felt like a Vanguard or some company that I respected wanted to buy SLP and operate it in a way that I thought would be good for people long term and they'd keep it around long term, if somebody came and offered $1 billion for Student Loan Planner, like, sorry guys, I could keep 100 million, then donate 900 million and have a lot more impact on the world that way. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, if something like that were to occur, then like anybody would think about something like that. But I think that the reason I've kept doing it is because I do feel like an obligation to our clients and our listeners and readers of people who followed us for a long time to like do my best. This is what I feel like I've been called to with the talents that I have. Some of those talents are really impactful. Some of them are more limiting, like my sense of humor. I'm trying to just be Travis and not put undue pressure on myself. I think that that's another thing as an entrepreneur is I think it's like really easy to put tons of pressure on yourself and to feel like the weight of the world is on your shoulders when you're really like overthinking your actual importance, right? Like I think that's something that's hard as an entrepreneur. I'll give an example, like during the 2020 crash and stuff, I was really stressed out. I was like, am I going to be able to keep people employed? Am I going to be able to keep this thing together? Are people going to hate me? Like if I'm not able to pay their salaries because the whole company folds, because there was a brief window in there of like April 2020 before the Fed had injected capital in the markets and stabilized. Zero student loans were being refinanced. Like very few people were reaching out for any student loan help because everything was frozen. And so I was just like, feeling it, you know? And so I think that, you know, as if you're listening, you know, be it you're a practitioner working somewhere, give yourself a pass. Remember that when somebody is really mean or really aggressive or like angry at you, it's usually not you, it's just them and they're having a hard day and they're probably going through something really painful in their life. And it's better to reframe and think, oh, maybe that person is just having the worst day of their lives and that's why they're treating me this way. It doesn't make it okay. But it helps, I think, a lot when people lash out. Because the thing is like when people are stressed out, Lauren, you've seen this. Some small numbers of people really lash out, right? And really get upset and get really angry or hurt. And so that stuff I handle much better now because I'm just like, oh, they're having a terrible day. And then when I acknowledge their pain, it usually kind of changes the game, right? When I acknowledge like the pain they're going through, hey, is it okay to ask, like, are you okay right now? Like, are you just going through like some really difficult times? And sometimes it's like they share that they are, and then suddenly they're open to listening, right? Open to getting advice. And that's kind of fun too, to take away the pain people have. I like that.
Yeah. What we're experts at Student Loan Planner is seeing a human on the other end of the Zoom call, on the other end of the phone, on the other end of what we're doing as our work as consultants. And like you said, that's not done by mistake. You picked people who care about, you know, how the world is going to evolve and the work that we're doing. Everybody on our team is in a situation where they're realizing that I can change somebody's life in 60 minutes. And it's important to know how to be able to change somebody's life in 60 minutes. And it might be just by keeping your mouth closed and listening to what's going on, because there's so much going on in the world nowadays that, like you said, the student loan debt might be the one thing that's like the straw that's getting ready to break the camel's back. But sometimes a client just needs a place to unload. Knowing how to be able to acknowledge that pain has helped us serve 20,000 people and what I think it's like $4.6 billion of debt that we've advised on at this point.
It's a large number. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not by mistake. So the work that you have done creating this, you said when you're just working with a few friends, you're trying to win over the girl once upon a time. it matters. It still matters. We're grateful to you. While we're at episode 400, I can't wait to hopefully have this opportunity to interview you in episode 800. What do you think as final? Actually, you know, as a final thought, one of the things I wanted you to talk about is like this idea of community. Like we said, we tried so hard to create a great community of Student Loan Planner via the blog, via the podcast, via the consultations that we've done. But there's a new community coming down the pipeline and a new way for people to be involved. So can you just talk about that a little bit?
We are going to be launching something for the SLP Insiders group. It's just essentially like an SLP app and SLP Insiders community. And what I think is like some people need another app or community, like they need a hole in the head. Like they don't need that. They want somebody to just manage it for them, right? I think that's a lot of our financial planning clients, for example, is people that just want it done for them by an expert. But some people do want that community, want to be able to talk to other people that have 300,000 of student loans that are waiting on PSLF buyback and like want to hear what other people are getting and going through, you know? So that's kind of the idea behind that. We're going to be launching that before the end of the year is my plan. And it's going to be available to exclusively to people in the SLP Insiders community. So we'll probably do like a promo or a call out for when we're ready to accept more signups for that. If people are interested in experiencing that app and that community, just be able to talk to people like them.
Yes. 9 years in, $4.6 billion, 400 episodes. Travis, thank you so much for all you've done for everybody in the student loan world, in addition to everybody that's on your team. I hope to see wonderful things for us in the future.
Thank you, Lauren. And thank you, listeners, for listening to the Student Loan Planner podcast. Folks, if you have any questions or things you want to have on be on the show, just go to studentloanplanner.com/voicemail. And also just a shout out to our colleague, Megan McGuire, who's started the Financially Free Era podcast. Definitely go follow that as well, where we give the exciting, wealth-growing, fun stuff and not just me talking about loans, my dad jokes, but you know, it's been fun. And Lauren, thank you so much for being a part of it.
Thanks for having me along for the journey.
Are you on the free Student Loan Planner email list? If yes, you can upgrade your experience and discover student loan loopholes so good, they might get repealed if I talk about them publicly. Find out my very best thought leadership that I really just can't be super open about anymore, unfortunately. If you want to get our very best tips, not just the ones that I can share for free, go to studentloanplanner.com/insider to get a special discount for your year membership. That's studentloanplanner.com/insider and get our very best dozens of bonus content and tips that's going to save you money and get you out of student debt faster. And if you're already an SLP insider, please reply back to those emails and let me know how I can make it even more valuable.